Welcome, Meadowbrook family. It's good to be with you today. Another online church, but I've got great news for you. Next Sunday and Easter Sunday, both, we're going to be broadcasting live on the radio station. And we're going to give you all the information. We'll send an email to you and text and a voicemail to you this week about all the details. And if the weather permits, we're going to do drive-in church next Sunday morning. And so it'll be a great time. You come, park out here in the parking lot. We'll have people to direct you. We'll have the stage out there. We'll be preaching. And you can turn your radio in your car to the station, and you'll be able to hear us. So that's next Sunday and Easter Sunday. Pray for good weather. It's going to be a great day. Also, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing our Bible study group on Zoom. The reason we're doing Zoom is because it allows us to see one another. We can actually talk and interact with one another, and it'll start at 6 o'clock. You should have received an email from me with instructions as well as a link to sign on to Zoom, and so there's that. And for those of you that may have a little trouble or you don't want to do all that, I'm going to go ahead and put my Facebook Live up too, so it'll be on Facebook Live as well. But we're going to be doing tonight a lesson from Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 11, and the title of it is At Peace. And old folks, let me tell you, if there's ever a time we needed peace, it's right now. So don't miss tonight at 6 o'clock. So let me pray, and then I'm going to turn over to Jason and Thomas. They're going to lead us in some worship. I encourage you, wherever you are, to sing along. And by the way, let me just say this. Post some pictures of yourself watching the service. Do it on the Facebook page or on our church page or just on your web page or your Facebook page so we can just see you while you're worshiping with us, okay? So let me pray, and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for all the people that are watching online. We ask God that you bless this time together, that God, you continue to bless our church and bless our people. Keep us healthy, keep us safe. Bless this time, Father, that you would receive glory from all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we sing with us as we sing this beautiful song? Praise the name of the Lord our God. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Oh, sweat drops of blood for mine. I'm singing how marvelous thou art before, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. And he took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. I'm singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory his face I at last shall see, to sing of his love for me. We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Wow, great song. Thanks, guys. Just want to take this opportunity to remind you guys, we're still the church. Our church is still functioning. There's still ministry going on. We're still doing together what we used to do. Nothing has much changed. Matter of fact, I hear reports every day of how our church serves and the generosity that our church has. People are checking on one another, connecting with neighbors. We're doing shopping for people. I heard about a family that made a big batch of soup and took it to several of our older folk. People are sharing the gospel. I've had three chances this week to talk to people about Jesus. We're doing Facebook Live posts. Our staff's working hard. Thomas is doing a great job. Holly's doing a great job. Check out on Facebook her Psalm 23 challenge. Really, really good. Our deacons are calling and connecting with people. Our Sunday school workers are doing the same thing. So we're really working hard at it. I just want to let you know that our budget, our leadership, we met Monday and making some contingency plans for these days, because, you know, when we planned our budget this year, none of us predicted COVID-19. And so we didn't make contingency plans for that, but we are now. And I just want to encourage you to continue to be generous. So many of you have dropped off your tithes this week, and you should have received a letter from our budget committee encouraging you to do that. And there's also envelopes in that letter that you can use to mail your tithe in. You can drop it by the church any day, Monday through Thursday, from 8 in the morning until 4:30 in the evening. You can mail it using the envelope. And you can even set up with your bank an automatic draft from your account that'll come straight to the church. So thank you for your generosity. It's been amazing. And so I just want to thank you and just encourage you to continue to be faithful. It looks like we're going to probably be out for another few weeks. But once again, next Sunday, if the weather permits, we're going to have drive-in church. And so I'm looking forward to that. So let me pray and bless this offering time as you prepare, as you think about that, and then we'll continue to worship. Father, thank you for this church and just for its generosity. Father, it's been wonderful to see it expressed in so many different ways. We just ask, Father, your provision for our church, as well as for all our sister churches and their people, will be just as generous and just as wonderful. So thank you in advance for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to ask y'all to sing this song with us. I know we normally sing this song as a call response deal, but I want to invite you to sing the whole thing with me. As I sing the verses and the choruses, you sing the whole thing with me. Because I believe that our God is worthy during this time, that he is still worthy of our worship. Do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do.
Song. Love that song. Let me pray and we'll get into the message. Father, we just ask today that you would empower this speaker to speak your words. Help me, Father, to get out of the way so that your spirit can talk to your people. Help us today to hear the word, to receive it with good hearts, and that it would bear fruit in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today's message is entitled God's Antidote to Fear. You know, I've talked with a lot of people this week. I talked with most of our church members by phone, and one word kept being repeated over and over and over again, and that word was fear. Folks, there's a pandemic of fear that's spreading alongside this pandemic of the coronavirus. I mean, we're hearing of mass cancellations of public events over coronavirus fears. We see TV images of coronavirus panic shopping. We see images of people in hazmat suits and overwhelmed ERs, and then we read sensational and conflicting headlines. I mean, it's enough to scare even the bravest of us. And due to the instant and global reach of media, the pandemic of fear is spreading more rapidly than the pandemic of the virus. And you know, today you don't even have to be around things to feel panic. You don't even sometimes know the reasons why. Have you ever seen one of those animal shows where an antelope hears or senses a lion is nearby and it freezes? And then when it senses danger, it takes off running. And before long, all the antelopes in the herd are running. Even though they've not seen the lion, they're running because one of their members is running. Well, folks, the same thing happens to the human race. That's what explains the mass panics we've seen and read about at concerts and sporting events. Someone thinks they hear a gunshot. Someone thinks they see a threat, and someone screams or someone starts running, and before long everybody's running, everybody's screaming, and often with very tragic results. Nowadays we don't even need direct contact with the object of fear because the media showing terrifying images and sensational reports can very effectively spread fear in our hearts and lives. I read a recent article in USA Today that characterized the fear over the coronavirus as the fear of the unknown. The writer said, "We just don't know what's going to happen." Now, should we be concerned about the coronavirus? Absolutely. We need to take precaution. But the question is, should we be afraid? Well, I want to look at what the Bible says about that. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. As a matter of fact, it repeats the word fear, fear not, over 360 times in the Bible. It's almost like God has a fear not for every day we live it. I don't know if you realize, but the Bible talks about fear more than it talks about heaven or hell. So I want to look at what the Bible says about overcoming fear and, if you will, flattening out the curve of the fear pandemic that's gripping our nation. Before we do that, I want to look at some of the damages that fear can cause in our lives. First of all, fear can freeze us in our tracks. It stops us from taking action like the antelope freezes. Paul Tournier was a great Christian psychiatrist of past generation. He said, "All of us have vast reservoirs of potential, vast areas of great satisfaction, but the road that leads to that reservoir is guarded by the dragon of fear." The dragon of fear. You know, the dragon of fear can cause us to miss opportunities. For example, Israel refused to cross over into the promised land because they received a fearful report of giants in the land. And they refused to cross over and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. The dragon of fear can imprison us if we're not careful. One of the gospel writers tells us that after Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Now, it's understandable to be concerned about the situation we're in right now, but I would want to say to you, but not be afraid, because fear can freeze us in our tracks. Secondly, fear can rob us of our joy. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, "Anxiety in a person's heart weighs it down." The Hebrew word there translated weighs means to cause a person to bow low, to press them down. I actually talked with somebody the other day that told me they were having chest pains and shortness of breath, but then they stopped watching the television as much as they had been watching, and guess what? Those symptoms cleared up, which, by the way, is not bad advice to stop watching quite as much television as some of us are watching. Because when we allow fear and fearful thoughts into our minds, and then we replay those images over and over and over again, it's a sure way to make yourself miserable. Fear can make us miserable. It can rob us of our joy. It can also make matters worse. Fear breeds fear. It can lead to panic, irrational thoughts, or irrational actions, overreactions, thus the need for a whole lot of toilet paper. The worst thing about it is it can distract us from our relationship with God and from the fact that we know God is Almighty God, that He's promised to never leave us, never forsake us, that He has promised to see us through this dark valley by being with us and protecting us with His rod and His staff. You know, when fear takes over our minds, it can plunge us into a very dark place. That's why the Bible calls us to cast all our fears on God, because He cares for us. So listen to me, folks. Fear is meant to be cast off, not carried on our backs. And finally, fear can seek out confirmation. Job said in Job chapter 3, verse 25, this is from the Message paraphrase, "The worst of my fears have come true. What I've dreaded most has happened." Fear can be a self-fulfilling prophecy if we're not careful. It can set us up for failure. How many of you have ever said something when something bad happened and you say, you know, I was afraid that would happen? You know, we tend to find what we're looking for. You buy a certain make of car, a certain color of car, and all of a sudden you see a whole bunch of those. You start looking for reasons to fear, and I promise you, you'll find them just about everywhere you go. Fear of failure can lead us to make half-hearted commitments that will almost ensure that we fail. Fear of rejection can cause us not to pursue a relationship like we should, leading to rejection and even more feelings of loneliness. So fear can damage us. And so how do you overcome it? What's the cure? Well, God gives us several. And let me just mention three this morning. Number one is the truth is a good antidote to fear. Psalm 119 verse 2 says, "Happy are those who keep His decrees and seek Him with all their heart." Jesus told His followers in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, "If you continue in My word, you are really My disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, fear is an emotion. It's not a fact, it's an emotion. And it always distorts our perspective of reality. Someone even defined fear using the letters F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Do you remember when you were a kid alone at night in your bedroom, or maybe you were out camping and all of a sudden you hear some strange noises? Your imagination starts running wild. What's in the closet? What's under the bed? Is there a bear outside and stuff? Do you remember how you overcame that fear? Do you remember what your dad did or your mom did? They would come into your room and they'd turn on the light. And when they turned on the light, all of a sudden you saw you had nothing to be afraid of. You got the flashlight out at the tent and you turned it on and you realize there's nothing but shadows out there, and shadows can't harm you. Listen to me, folks. Truth sheds light on our fears. It shows them for what they really are. And so where do we go for truth? Well, I believe we go to God's word. Psalm 119 verse 160 says, "The entirety of your word is truth." Jesus echoed that prayer in His prayer in John 17 when He said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Folks, listen to me. We can greatly reduce our fears and our anxieties by limiting the time we spend watching and listening to the media and spending that time reading and studying and meditating on God's word. One of the blessings we have in this day and time is a little app called YouVersion that has dozens of translations of the scripture, but also has dozens of reading plans. And right now, if you'll go on YouVersion, they have all kinds of reading plans, reading the Bible and devotionals that go with them to help you deal with fear. From Anxiety to Peace is the name of one of them. Another one is How to Stop Worrying by Charles Stanley. And this is one of my favorite, the 7-Day Anxiety Detox. Isn't that good? You can read the scripture, and there's wonderful ways to do that. Read your open windows. We also, as if you're a member of our church and you're a member of our Bible study group, you have a Bible study booklet on the book of Romans. And tonight we're going to study that at 6 o'clock on Zoom, and it'll be in Romans chapter 5. And it sheds the truth on what our anxieties can do. Listen to what he says here In verse 3, he says, "And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Isn't that good? See, the truth of the Word of God sheds light on our afflictions, that God can use them for good in our life, that we learn endurance, that our character becomes developed, that we have hope in our life. Another thing we can do is memorize God's Word, hide His Word in our heart. Like Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Isaiah 41, verse 10, we talked about that a while back. "Do not fear," God says, "for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand." Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3 says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, it will not overwhelm you. The rivers will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned." Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you." Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, pray with all kinds of prayers. And then the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Jesus in John chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God." And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your cares or anxieties on Him because He cares for you." You know, one of the worst questions we can ask in times like this is why? Why did this happen? We don't know. A better question is what? What does God's Word say about this? What can I do to apply God's Word to my life and to this situation? What can I do to make a difference in somebody else's life? Are you afraid and you don't know what to do? Can I just encourage you this morning to share and shine God's light on your fears? Psalm 119, 105, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." Truth. The second antidote is love. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, this is from the Message paraphrase, "There is no room in love for fear." Isn't that good? There is no room in love for fear. Fear and love cannot coexist in the same place. So how does love overcome fear? Well, first of all, when we realize how much God truly loves us, we realize that God gave His one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. We realize how much God cares for us. He's promised to be with us. He's promised never to forsake us. He's promised to see us through whatever we face. Our fears begin to fade. This passage I found this week, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 from the New Living Translation says this, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty warrior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With His love," listen to this, "He will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." With His love, He will calm all your fears. And the second way love can overcome fear is not only when we experience God's love ourselves, but when we in turn turn and give that love away to other people, our fears begin to fade. Because one of the roots of fear and one of the fruits of fear is self-centeredness. We become preoccupied with ourselves, thus all the hoarding and the panic shopping that we've seen in these days. But love takes the focus off of self and it puts it on someone else. I read a story not long ago about a young mother who ran into a burning house to save her infant. You see, her love for her child had overcome her fear of fire and death. And that's what love can do to overcome our fears. And there's one more. And that is faith. Listen to this. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. God says, "The person who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is indeed in the Lord, is blessed. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends its roots out toward a stream. It doesn't fear when heat comes, and its foliage remains green. It will not worry in a year of drought or cease producing fruit. Folks, faith is the opposite of fear, because fear always expects the worst, but faith always expects the best. But faith is more than just believing. It's more than just having faith. Faith has to have an object. And the object of the faith that Jeremiah talks about, the object of the kind of faith that will overcome our fears, is God Himself. You see, folks, the answer to our fears isn't a formula. It isn't a bottle. It isn't a pill. It is a person, Almighty God Himself. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4, "But when I'm afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what is promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid?" When Paul wrote to the Ephesians and told them to suit up for spiritual warfare, he told them in Ephesians 6:16, "In every situation, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." And one of Satan's favorite arrows is fear. He shoots it into our mind and we begin to think, what if I fail? What if I get sick? What if I run out of toilet paper? What if I run out of food? What if? What if? What if? One of my favorite songs is a song by Zach Williams, and it's entitled "Fear is a Liar." Listen to the chorus. "Fear, he is a liar. He will take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear, he is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Cast your fear into the fire, cause fear, he is a liar." Folks, that's the bottom line. Fear is a liar. Now, it's understandable that we're concerned about the coronavirus. It's understandable that we're concerned about the health of our families. That's understandable. But we have to realize that fear and worry will not help us at all. It'll just make us miserable. It'll just distract us. It'll distract us from our relationship with God. It can make things worse. And if we're afraid, other people around us, our kids, our wives, our husbands, will be afraid as well. It ends up making things worse. Never makes things better. Instead, we ought to turn to Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." You want to know the truth about any situation? Look to Jesus. Listen to what he says. Jesus gave himself for our sins on the cross, the Bible says, while we were still his enemies. So he proved his love for us a long, long time ago, before coronavirus ever was on the map. And Jesus is absolutely trustworthy. And so we can trust him. As a matter of fact, one of the things he said goes especially for this time, John chapter 14, verse 27. He says, "Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives, so don't let your hearts be troubled or fearful." Folks, the reality is the coronavirus is just another reminder of our mortality. It's a reminder of how rapidly things can change and how little control we can have sometimes. It's a reminder to us of the reality of death and the brokenness of our world. With all the advances and all the education and all the money and all the stuff we have, things like the coronavirus comes along every so often and reminds us that we can't fix things. You know, God's original design wasn't anything like what we're experiencing today. It was perfect, full of peace, full of joy. Life flourished. But then man decided he wanted his way more than he wanted God's way. And at that point, sin entered the world and infected everybody and everything. And we still haven't found a cure. We've tried religion. It didn't work. We've tried money. We've tried government. We've tried education. We've tried sports. We've tried entertainment. We've tried politics, and nothing has worked. It just reminds us that we need help from without. And so that's what God did. And that's the good news. God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, into this world. Jesus lived the perfect life that we never could live. And that made him eligible to be the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, to take away the sins of the world, which he did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus was then placed in a tomb for 3 days, and on the third day he rose from the dead as proof, as a demonstration that he had overcome sin and that he could provide salvation for us because he defeated the final ultimate consequence of sin, which is death. But like any antidote, we must receive it personally. It's not enough just to know about it. It's not enough just to see what it does for other people. We have to receive it ourselves. And the Bible says the way that we do that is through repentance, number one. We repent of the way that we've been living. We turn our back on it. We are sorry about what we've been doing. We're willing to change. And then we place our faith in Jesus Christ alone. We rely on what Jesus did on the cross to be sufficient to pay for our sin. That we rely on Jesus every day as we follow him to be our Lord and Master. And we do what he commands us to do. And so today, I want to invite some of you that are living in fear to turn and live in Jesus. And if you have never had the opportunity to receive Jesus, I want you to have that opportunity right now. And so I want to invite you to pray with me. Would you do that? Simply bow your head and close your eyes and just repeat these words. It's more about the intent of your heart, really, than the words. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So would you pray with me? Dear God, I'm afraid. I'm tired of being afraid. I open my life to you now. Fill my life with your truth and your love and your faith. I give you control of my life. Set me free from my fear in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, I've got good news for you. The Bible says the angels are celebrating in heaven. The Bible says that God has made you a new creation. And now you get to walk with the Lord, and now the Lord's going to begin to help you grow. And that's what the church is here for, to help you and to serve you in any way we can. And so if you'd let me know that you prayed that prayer, if you let me know that you want to know more about Jesus, I will send you some information. I'll send you some links, some great ways you can grow. But you know, some of us are Christians, and we know what the Bible says, and we know God, and yet we have let fear come into our life and paralyze us. Or make matters worse, or just make us miserable. And so for those of us that are believers that have let fear become more real to us than faith, would you pray with me this simple prayer? Dear Lord, please forgive me for not trusting you and allowing my fears to keep me from obeying you. Free me from my fears. Help me get back into your word. Fill my life with your love. Help me to act according to faith in you, not my feelings. I rededicate my life to your control once again. In Jesus' name, amen. And once again, if you prayed that prayer and you'd like some help, I'd love to be able to send it to you. You can talk to me on the phone. You can email me. You can text me. And I'd love to be able to help you, okay? We have some information on the website. If you'll go to the resource tab, there's some wonderful information there about more about knowing Jesus and discipleship and how you can grow. So thank you for being with us today. I want you to know that I love you and I miss you guys like crazy. It is strange preaching to an empty auditorium. I want you to know that. But I love you and we're here for you to serve you in any way we can. So please let us know how we can serve you, okay? Once again, a reminder, tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to be doing a Bible study on Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. In your Bible study material, you have that. And the title of the lesson is At Peace. And so I want to encourage you to join us on Zoom or join us on Facebook Live. Also, Wednesday night, we'll be doing our prayer and Bible study at 6 o'clock on Facebook Live. And then next Sunday, we'll be broadcasting on the radio. So be sure you let our senior adults and people know that we'll be broadcasting. You can listen to me on the radio. And if the weather permits, we're going to invite you to come and park in your cars and stay in your cars out in the parking lot. We're going to do drive-in church. It's going to be a blast. So I encourage you to come and be a part of that. So in the meantime, God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us. And God keep you and God protect you. And may his face shine upon you. Thanks.